You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, hey, welcome to a brand new year and a brand new season. You are tuned in to HR Bandit, the podcast where we cover the top news of work every single month. If this is your first time here, an even bigger welcome from me, your host, Ankita Podar, dialing in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed from a very cold Dublin. If this is you returning, a big hug, and I'm so glad to see you on our first episode of the year, and of course, our best one yet. And what better way to kickstart the year than predicting the one ahead? Like every year, this is our prediction spot where we talk about what to watch out for in 2026. And per usual, we have not three, not five, not seven, but eight predictions in store for you today. But before we get into it, Apoorva, how are you doing today?
I wish I could have said bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but I'm doing all right. And I'm glad that I got a much-needed break over the last couple of weeks and made the intelligent decision of joining back at work on the 2nd of Jan. So the Monday blues aren't really hitting me as hard.
That is a smart move. I wish I could say the same. The Monday blues are starting to hit me. But you know what? This podcast recording is definitely my highlight of the day. And much like the whole world, we are going to get into our predictions. And the second cardinal rule of all predictions is that we can't begin without first checking how we did on last year's predictions. Now, in 2024, we had an accuracy rate of 81.25%. Apoorva, do you think when we go through our recap, we will do better than we did in 2024?
Maybe. Let's find out in a few.
Okay. Tell us, which ones did we get right and which ones did we miss?
All right. So my first prediction for 2025 was that AI upskilling would be at the forefront. And this one, of course, held true. So in 2025, AI upskilling became an imperative, either directly or indirectly. So on one hand, we saw leaders like Microsoft and Walmart investing billions to bridge a massive skills gap through structured literacy pathways. And the shift was backed by the 2025 Microsoft Work Trend Index, which we covered in one of our podcast episodes, which noted that the ability to work alongside AI is now as fundamental as PC literacy was in the 90s. Additionally, Gartner reported that by late 2025, 70% of high-performing HR organizations had replaced traditional job descriptions with skill-based profiles focused on AI-augmented productivity. In a report, McKinsey also highlighted that firms ignoring these AI literacy pathways faced a 40% higher turnover rate, stating that the divide is no longer between those who use AI and those who don't, but between organizations that treat AI as a tool versus those that treat it as a core human competency. And this resulted in what LinkedIn's Global Talent Trends last year called an AI wage premium, where the wage premium for AI skills hit 56% in 2025 from 25% the year prior.
Well, it wasn't just everyone else. You and I also thankfully spent time upskilling ourselves in AI. So we definitely got that one right. My first trend that I had predicted was related to DEI. I had said IDE, DEI, diversity, call it what you want, will take a giant leap backwards. Now, sometimes we hope that the predictions we make don't come true, but unfortunately in this case, I was right. We covered diversity a total of thrice in 2025. Many organizations in the US rolled back explicit mentions of diversity, inclusion, and similar, and any initiative that existed almost felt like a covert operation. The White House press release stated at the start of the year that President Trump is restoring fairness and accountability in federal hiring and terminating DEI across the federal government. Now, this trend sent ripples outside of federal organizations too. If you'd like a more detailed look at how it impacted corporate America, the Leanin and McKinsey's 2025 Women in the Workplace report is a great place to start. And of course, like most things we talk about, it is linked in the show notes below. However, it wasn't the same across the world. For example, Deloitte in UK and Disney, who have sunsetted their DEI initiatives in the States, are continuing the initiatives in the rest of the world. The EU pay gap transparency particularly focuses on closing the gender pay gap, and so does the UK gender pay gap reporting. South Africa's BEE law stayed despite facing large opposition during the year. I think we need to do a better job of highlighting where DEI has stayed a priority and maybe move focus from just US-based organizations, because while the US is not a non-negligible country, there are other things happening around the world. However, in summary, I'm going to stop rambling and just say we did take a giant leap backwards, but thankfully the entire world did not recede.
Yeah, and we did cover Elf Cosmetics in one of our podcasts where, you know, they really stood their ground with their DEI policies. So Bandits, we will make sure that any such developments in the DEI space are covered even in 2026. My second trend was soft quitting. To rejig everyone's memory, soft quitting is different from quiet quitting. What happens in quiet quitting is employees actively stop contributing beyond their job description, whereas soft quitting manifests in more subtle ways. For example, someone who used to be an enthusiastic contributor now responds with half-hearted answers, or someone who took pride in solving problems now waits for others to take charge. Now, I have to say this trend did not really hold true given everything that we've seen in 2025, where there has been increasing burnout as employees worked harder than ever before, fearing job security. In fact, Glassdoor even named fatigue as the 2025 word of the year. And in the report where they reveal this, Glassdoor also shares that workers spent a lot of time on the edge in the year, worried about the next headline, the next technology shift, or economic surprise. Politics dominated, layoff fears lingered, economic concerns mounted, and as a result, we had a workforce that was running on empty. The term fatigue saw a 41% spike in mentions across the Glassdoor community, capturing the sentiment that defined workplace conversations all year long.
I have a little to say about this, but I'm going to hold it till we get to my not a trend. My second trend that I predicted last year was the rise of incivility. I was spot on with this one. Now, per an article by Inc. released in October, the rise of incivility, also known as workplace aggression, has cost companies $2 billion every single day. Again, the article focuses on the US, but I dare say we've seen ripple effects around the world. There were also articles written in the UK and elsewhere warning of increased workplace aggression as global views on multiple aspects clashed, including on immigration, positive discrimination, and more, which when brought into the workplace has caused friction amongst employees.
Okay, with that, let us move to our not a trend. I said hyper-personalization wouldn't be a trend, and the fact that it didn't feature in any of our episodes last year shows that we were right.
Maybe with the AI coming into everything, hyper-personalization might be a thing. I won't bet on it. My not a trend predicted last year was work-life balance. I said work-life balance will not be a thing. Apurva, you already talked about fatigue, so I won't say more about it. Of course, if there's a rise in fatigue, work-life balance isn't a thing. So if I am counting this right, we made 6 predictions and we got 5 correct. So that gives us a hit rate of 83.3%. Drum rolls, please. We are improving. The only thing that I noticed, which we didn't cover in our trends last year, but we talked about a lot on this podcast, was returning to an office. So Bandits, if you are curious if the 5 days in office makes its way into our predictions, keep listening.
All right. Now, after that exciting report card of last year, Ankita, we of course cannot forget that we also need to cover our top trends for 2026. So let's get started.
Okay. I'm going to jump in with an obvious one and then move to the rest. Now, my first trend of the year is workforce planning will continue to claim center stage thanks to deeper integration with AI and the continued pressure on cost. Now, workforce planning found mention in almost all prediction articles that I was going through. In addition to figuring which roles we need to focus on reskilling, redesigning, or replacing, we'll also need to get savvy with terms like NNACV, which is your net new annual contract value, for a deeper understanding of just how the biggest expense on our balance sheet is undergoing transformation. Now, with easier access to vast amounts of data and modeling, finance and HR are going to come closer to make key decisions. In 2025, nearly 50,000 roles that were posted globally required strategic workforce planning skills outside of HR in the offices of the COO, CFO, and adjacent functions. This group of business operators were effectively non-existent in 2020 and has grown 34% since 2022. Now, all of this these statistics are from an article by Talent Neuron, which I really enjoyed reading and would highly recommend. The concept of workforce planning is not new, but the attention it has been receiving over the past few years is. So if your business is still treating one headcount as one headcount, irrespective of where in the world it is placed and how it is being used, this is your opportunity to get ahead. We will see a lot more nuanced approaches emerge here, and while to the uninitiated, we might be seeing these emerge as layoffs or eliminating middle management or just pivoting job roles, the underlying changes are all being dictated by a more sophisticated workforce planning and maybe a plan that's being generated by our Gen AI friends.
You know, when I first heard you talk about this, I was like, why is this really a trend? Like, workforce planning has been around year over year, so what's really different? But as I think more, I think the answer lies in the fact that every expenditure item is really precious right now. And hence, workforce planning becomes a big needle mover and matters more than it ever has in terms of cost optimization. Additionally, I also came across a very concerning stat where McKinsey, in a report in mid-2025, found that only 12% of US-based companies have workforce plans beyond a single year. So one is, of course, workforce planning, the way we think about it, and the other is building it for the short term as well as for the long term. Now, with that, let me move on to my first trend, which actually continues from our 2025 trend where we predicted AI upskilling. Now, for 2026, we will move to the next step where, as a result of AI upskilling, we will see this great AI divide where the gap between AI fluent employees and those without will become a primary driver of career development and, you know, how careers shape in the workplace, basically. So according to a Bright Horizons 2025 Education Index, 42% of the workforce reports feeling underprepared for the changes AI will bring to their roles, even as they face mounting pressure to deliver results faster. So this trend is creating a separation between a section of the workforce called the information elite, who leverage agentic AI to command a 56% wage premium, as noted in the previous report that I mentioned, and a shrinking middle class of traditional knowledge workers whose skills are being outpaced by the faster evolution of AI exposed roles. So in our previous podcast episodes, we also discussed how companies like Meta are going to make AI adoption and usage a key criteria to determine performance. And in my view, we will only see more of those in 2026.
Fear is a very good motivator to learn new things. And I think a lot of these articles have a very well-balanced approach to creating fear and optimism. So I'm definitely going to use fear as a motivation to ensure that I'm not the percentage of the workforce that has a career stagnation. The other thing that I'm really curious about is if blue-collar workforce will be impacted similarly or if it's going to look different for them. And which brings me to my second prediction, which is very closely tying into yours, and that is in 2026, we will finally have agents as teammates. Again, this prediction is more applicable for knowledge workers, but we have seen robots take over in a very big way. Like Waymo is everywhere. Self-driving cars are expanding to multiple cities in the US, and I'm sure we'll see China come into the competition and really expand globally. We have seen a lot of our hospitality industry use robots in the kitchen for chopping and so on. So that is displacing real jobs. We are seeing robots in manufacturing centers where a lot of blue-collar workers are now finding themselves working alongside robots. So I do think we will have teammates who are, let's just say, not human. And while the frontier tech organizations will likely be the first in queue, it is going to be critical to, you know, if your organization doesn't have an agent as your teammate, make connections with those who are in organizations where these transitions are happening so that when it arrives at yours, you are ready. An example of agents who are like very basic and already here are those who help create reports, highlight insights, and send it to relevant stakeholders. So last month, Forbes published a list of 8 AI agents for HR already out there by Workday, ServiceNow, and others. While most agents in 2025 who had arrived were more like team assistants, I have a feeling we will see very sophisticated agents in 2026 and HR teams might shrink overall.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of these reports point out, create fear, but also strike optimism. This trend is similar. Anyway, with that, I'm moving to my next trend, which also has a flavor of AI. And I see Ankita giving me the look, but I will talk about this one. So this one is about how managerial roles will undergo a shift in a workforce augmented by AI agents. So as Ankita spoke, in 2026, we will see more of agents as teammates. So the traditional manager role will also undergo a change as AI agents transition from passive tools to virtual co-workers. A Quartz report highlighted that managers are now expected to dual manage both people and digital workers, with 40% of enterprise applications expected to feature task-specific AI agents by end of the year, according to Gartner. This automation of administrative work, such as scheduling, reporting, so on and so forth, allows a single manager to oversee a larger number of human direct reports by shifting their focus from task supervision to high-value human-centric work like empathy, coaching, and strategic enabling. Now, we've been talking about how the middle management role is undergoing a shift. There were layoffs in the previous year which were focused on delayering and increasing manager spans, but I don't think we've seen the end of it yet.
It is really interesting. Ever since I started my career in HR, we've always, and even before I started my career in HR, I think we've always been looking for ways to eliminate managers. We haven't done it for a decade and more. I don't think it's going away. But I think we'll never stop trying. I think that's just what makes our job so interesting. And I can also say that literally every single trend that we've predicted related to AI will come true in 2026. I have a high degree of confidence, and hence I'm going to, you know, start taking more risks and move us away from AI in our trends. So my trend, my third trend, is that of dual incomes. Now, SHRM is also predicting this, and it's calling it polywork, that employees will work smarter, harder, and collect two paychecks. Now, these sources of income might come from two different non-competing jobs. But before I get into that, I think it's important to talk about the why. It's no surprise we've seen declining job security. There is a lack of jobs in the market, or at least lack of jobs with the skill set that's getting laid off. We aren't seeing absolutely amazing pay rises, and the cost of everyday life is increasing. And all of this is culminating on placing a pretty high pressure on employees, like we talked about, fatigue being at an all-time high, and so is everything else. There is actually an amusing thread on Reddit that discusses millionaires in the US who don't feel like millionaires. It stemmed from a few articles, but the gist is that employees, millionaires or not, will diversify and look to minimize risk. Now, it could be two jobs, it could be investing, it could be starting a side hustle. Whatever form it takes, the bottom line is that a lot of people cannot afford to depend on just a single source of income, that is their monthly paycheck. So there is this term that has been revolving in my head of an anxious workplace. I'm going to try and make it a thing on this podcast. And Bandit, if you ever hear the anxious workplace anywhere, know that you heard it here first, and that while I was predicting dual incomes, I said the anxious workplace is probably what drives us there faster than we would have. So Apoorva, we'll see if we can make this a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds so apt for the title of a book that captures how the workforce really feels today and what really led to it. So Bandits, you never know, maybe you will see this in your bookshelves in 2026. But on this trend, I'm in two minds. So I do see the need why work, like why employees may be pushed to do this. But I'm not sure if given fatigue was the term of the year in 2025, whether people are well placed enough in terms of their bandwidth to handle more than one job.
And that's the thing. I think we're going to get very creative. It's not necessarily a job, but like just... I've been reading about the rise of boring businesses, right? Where a whole bunch of millennials are going and buying laundromats and warehouses and investments like that, which are low effort, but have apparently a better income than our day jobs. I can't say because I haven't gone and bought a warehouse yet. It's on my list when I have enough money. But I do think just the urgency of diversification, and taking investment seriously and things like that is going to take up some headspace.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. And maybe that's why financial literacy becomes all the more important in the year. Anyway, with that, let me move to my third trend, which is related to increased employee activism, driven by what a report by McLean and Company called change saturation. So after years of lean hiring and doing more with less, workplace demands have really outpaced human capacity, where teams are being crushed by the sheer volume of organizational shifts, be it reorgs or strict RTO mandates or technological transformation, without really giving them adequate time to recover. This has led to a term coined by the Edelman Trust Barometer called the Age of Grievance, which found that 61% of workers now feel a sense of grievance towards their employers. So I think we will see more instances of employees trying to take matters in their own hands by organizing, writing open letters, and even resorting to social media more than we have seen in the past.
Yeah, and even more interesting will be how employers react to all of that.
Exactly.
I really think like we've gotten so used to these open letters and walkouts and everything else that I really want 2026 to be the year where people actually start doing something, I want to say newsworthy, but like things that shift how we've ever protested before. Okay, I'm going to move to my not a trend. And I was looking at so many trend reports, and there were the usual HR buzzwords that were quoted. I was surprised that some of these articles actually thought that employee experience will be a trend in 2026. To me, it feels like it's really disconnected from reality. On one hand, we're talking about fatigue, employees being totally disenchanted and so on. And then on the other hand, we are suddenly saying, oh, organizations will turn around and focus on employee experience. So I'm going to go ahead and say 2026 is not going to be the year of employee experience. I doubt we'll cover a single significant shift in this space. Again, this is one prediction where I hope I'm wrong. But if at all, I think we will be discussing the death of the term. So that's my not a trend. Apoorva, do you think I'm being overly cynical?
Ankita, I'm usually the pessimistic one, but I think you have taken that crown this year. So for my not a trend in 2026, despite the deep integration of AI into workforce management, I think that the merger of HR and IT departments will not really be a trend. So Moderna created quite a wave in 2025 with the merger of their IT and HR teams, where a lot of experts said that it's the future of these two functions. However, in my view, we will see more specialization across IT and HR rather than them coming together and merging. So IT will continue to build the engine, but HR remains the driver of this new digital workforce. I also personally feel that a merger would really dilute the empathy that is required to manage the workforce, especially in times of increased uncertainty and stress. And HR really needs to continue to play the role of a moral compass where we build policies on ethical governance and ensure psychological safety.
Yeah, I think like in my head, an IT department has arms that also look at like the systems people use. I'm surprised. Like if I was to merge two departments, I would merge finance and HR
especially with the workforce planning.
Yeah, like IT and HR. Sure, like you can bring all three under a single leader, but I don't think you'll merge them and call them one single entity. Anyway, with that, I'm going to get us out of here. We've had 8 fantastic predictions and we've got to get at least 84% of it right. But before I go, Apoorva, I ask you this every year. We've seen the work predictions, but what is one personal goal that you hope to achieve in 2026?
Well, I am keeping it really simple with one overseas trip in 2026. Less is more is my mantra for the year.
Well, I'm going to hope that you choose to come to Dublin. And who knows, we might actually do a live recording of this podcast somewhere here.
Yes.
So that's going to be my hope, but that's not my goal. So apart from my usual get fitter, run longer goal that I have every single year, this is the year I want to try writing fiction, though with your commentary on publishing the Anxious Workplace book, we might just have to pivot and write nonfiction, but I'm going to commit the seat of my pants to the chair and try and write a little bit every day. It hasn't happened so far, but we'll keep trying. So that's my personal goal. But Apoorva, I know you and I are going to sit down and write a goal list for this podcast. Who knows, 2026 might be a year of a few launches. So Bandits, stay tuned.
Yes, we have a few surprises in store like every year and one pretty big one. So we are really hoping that 2026 is the year of a big launch. Anyway, with that, Bandits, thank you for joining us for the first episode of the year. Let us know via LinkedIn if you think we missed any key trend. And until then, we hope you had a wonderful start to the year. Happy New Year. And on behalf of NHRD and Ankita, this is Apoorva and we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.